tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And as we study today, we want to invite you to join us in conversation, in study, if you want to be a part of this discussion, which is the voice of prophecy. If you want to be part more than just the discussion, you want to be actually studying with us, you definitely can do that. Tip to us on +27 73 470 3520. That number again, +27 73 470 3520. And we will engage with each other, but also share where you can get the lesson right here. For this afternoon, as we go through this segment together, we want to understand God's will. Now, there is a way, says Book of Proverbs in verse 25 of chapter 16, that seems right to a man, but its end thereof are the ways of death. With that strong admonition, how can we be sure that we are living God-directed lives and not just following our own inclinations? It becomes very important that we differentiate, right, and we're able to pinpoint that this is the path that God has spoken for us. And so to help us understand this more, we've got our elder on the line. Babu Moyo, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
No, we're doing okay, sir. And yourself?
No, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you for joining us again. We truly appreciate your accepting our invitation to come back.
No, it's always a pleasure to discuss things to do with practical Christianity.
Oh, yes.
And being able to discuss the Word of God indeed. Not just as a theory, but as an actual part of life, as it should be.
Yes, yes, as it should be, right? As it should be. Now, in our study today, understanding God's will for our lives and helping us live God-directed lives, you know, popular culture would have us understand that, you know, in life, you want to follow your heart, right? Follow your heart. And even sometimes they even want to add some big words, intuition and whatnot. No, gut feelings and so forth. But apparently, Proverbs says, hey, that can lead us to deadly error. Help us make sense of that.
So I like the way you've said it, that nowadays we try to put it as, okay, no, and it's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Follow your heart.
Yeah.
I think the natural growth of that has become this movement where they're now saying, no, you must manifest your own destiny, just speak it into existence kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's, but then, where do those inclinations come from? Is it just a thing of follow your heart? And I like how the contemporary actor, well, I don't know if anyone actually knows him, but then by the name of Jim Carrey, quite popular, said this at a certain point. He said, I hope that everyone actually gets everything that they hope for. The reason, so that they can find out that once they get it, they'll realize how empty it actually is. So here's the idea that when we're following our own inclinations, when we follow our heart, not necessarily because we should fear that it will fail, but when it succeeds and it comes to pass, where is it coming from in the first place?
Yeah.
Will we just turn up empty? So the idea would then be, okay, I like the way that you put it from Proverbs 16:25, saying that, okay, there's a way that seems right to us.
Yeah.
We think that this is definitely the path to take. And it's easy to rationalize that, to say that, no, but, you know, I need this, or even more, my family needs this. Or we make little excuses for our behavior, you know. We say, you know, even though we know that it is not in harmony with God, we still decide to say no. But God understands my situation after all.
He doesn't want my family to suffer.
Of course he understands. No, of course not. He doesn't want me to be unhappy. He doesn't want me to be in a place that I'm struggling. He doesn't want me to face trials. So he understands my situation. What I'm doing isn't really hurting anyone else. The only one it hurts is me. So I guess I'm sacrificing, right? So that's the idea that comes up, and we do have those rationalizations, but then, if it is not in line with the will of God, can we still count it as worth it? Can we say that then we are the exception because it's not in line with God, but God understands, you know?
May God help us.
But when we actually, may God help us, because, you know, And the funny thing is, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but you'll find that people, I mean, right at the time when you're thinking, oh, but maybe I shouldn't do it, they'll come along, people to even come and rationalize with you to be able to say, no, but you know what you did, even though you're doing the wrong thing, no, but this time it's an exception. You're doing the right thing. It's a scary thing, even though we know that it is not in line with the will of God. It's a scary place to be in. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, and I think you want to rather go with the full will of God, right? Not the permissive will. I mean, I'm reminded of that time when the Israelites, as they were in the wilderness, were tired of the food that God was giving him, the manna and stuff. And they're like, oh, we wish we were in Egypt where we could have at least some variety. And God says, you know what? Here's some food until it comes out of your noses, some meat. And you think just because God permitted and said, here, you can have it, therefore that makes it good. Kind of, we must be able to say, no, this, we don't want to operate in the permissive will. We want His direct, His full will as we go through life. Now, surely there are situations, Dala, where God can allow us to compromise on His instructions. Is that not the case? I mean, you take a look at, and I remember there was this 20-question series we once did where, you know, and where you would say, no, if you're going to be stuck in a room and someone wants to take your life, surely at that point you are excused from killing another person. You know, if you're going to be stuck in the desert and there's no food, surely you can eat those foods that are not permitted. You know, all these scenarios we create for ourselves, and then we say God is reasonable. You know, does He expect a man to love an unlovable wife, for example? You know, making it a bit more practical and bringing it to everyday life. Does He expect us to not try spiritualism and underworld handlings and dealings when prayer and fasting seems not to be bringing the breakthrough? And someone says, hey, I know this grandmother or this, you know, sangoma, or this whatever, you know, come and do stuff there, you know. It's not the first option, but surely He understands when we have tried what He had offered and it wasn't bringing results, doesn't He?
So I love the way that you've put it, because that speaks into everyday practical life. And I mean, especially in the African context, I've been in places where even it will not just be people who come to you, it will be church members who come to you and say, but you know, I know a grandmother somewhere, I know a grandfather somewhere, I know a sangoma somewhere who does these things. Don't worry about like the repercussions. No, don't worry about that. For your specific case, I'm sure God understands.
And you have tried him. So it's not like you didn't try him.
I mean, and that's the thing. We sometimes then have to look at situations like that and go like, God obviously is permissive, correct? But then, and it should be okay. That makes it right because it's me, because it's my situation, not necessarily me, but my situation. This is not true. And I'll say this from experience, one, and also two, I'll say it from this point of view.
Okay.
Remember who it is that we serve. Maybe many times, I want to make this clear, maybe many times when we speak during these lessons, it makes people feel like, oh, okay, if I do this thing, then God has to say yes to me. Or if I do this thing and I do this thing. No, remember that our salvation is in Christ first, number one.
Okay.
Taking it from that point of view and looking at it from the idea that if we shouldn't take the view that if it works for other people, or even if it works for us, it doesn't mean it's necessarily right or it is true or it is good. So here's the idea. We know the God we serve. We know that he hates those who he hates those practices that try to bring in other gods, that try to bring in different practices that the heathen do. This is straight out what the Bible says, if I may read it. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And remember that wherever light is, darkness and light have no place in each other. Where light comes in, darkness has to flee. So here's the idea.
Yeah.
Yes, we may, and I'm not saying that then someone who may have taken that advice is now doomed and is in the darkness forever. No. Remember that if we do if we have done something wrong like that, that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yes, indeed. Maybe we try to rationalize it because we think, I don't want it to be that I've gone too far from God, that I can't go to Him. We try to rationalize. But no, God is saying that it's not about trying to rationalize it. Know that you have done what is wrong, but know also that where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. So when we think that maybe we even did it by mistake, let it be that we would, when we realize that now we have done the wrong thing, let us turn back from it.
Yeah.
And God will accept us indeed. But if we try to rationalize it and try to justify it by ourselves, then God can't forgive a sin that has not been confessed. Mm. If we think that what we have done is right, the way thereof may just be death. So let it be that let us confess, go to God and be able to say, no, you know what? This is how I rationalized it. But Lord, I know this deep down. I know there's something wrong with this. But there's nowhere else to turn to. I want to come back to you. Let us not try to justify it ourselves or try to find someone else's situation and say that, yeah, but they did it. It should be okay. The Bible is littered with situations where, like Abraham, where he thought that Abraham and Sarah, they said, well, the child is not coming.
Yeah.
So we'll find a way to make sure the child comes. Yeah. And it has affected us all the way up until now. So it's a slippery slope. We have examples, and these things are written for our example, that we may be able to walk better with Christ. Not that we are perfect, but when we do make mistakes, let us go back to God, not turn away from Him, and try to rationalize it and try to beat the shame, but rather when we are convicted, because shame comes from the devil, but when we are convicted, that comes from God.
Yeah.
So when we feel that conviction, turn back to God and don't let it become shame, and then we turn away from God and try to run.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, turn back to God when you see that you're doing down the wrong path. In fact, speaking about the wrong path, I mean, the Bible will say in Isaiah 30 verse 21, will say, your ears will hear a voice behind your word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right or to the left. Yeah. Now sometimes, and I don't know if many of us will be having that audible voice that will tell us to turn to the right or to the left. So how do we test? How do we know determining that this is the right course of action and we should be doing this or doing that, and or we're veering off the path of the will of God that He wants us to do? How do we know? How do we tell, since we don't have that audible voice to tell us?
So here's the interesting thing. We recognize that God has, I like the way that Jesus answered a question similar to that, where He said, you know, you have Moses and you have the testimonies, you have all that is written, and you're still asking for a sign. You're still looking for like some lights in the sky thing. But what He was basically saying was this.
Yeah.
and I say this not because I have literally asked at times to say, God, why can't you just say in an audible voice,
make
whether
it clear.
You know?
Yeah.
Make it clear. But then here's the thing. We need to understand that let us not quit on our devotional time. Because, and in prayer, and in the Word of God. Because if we say the Word and the testimony, and we're not reading the Word or the testimony, then we're not going to know. So it is a process of getting to learn, but also, you don't then just shove away the Word because saying, I don't want to know so that I have an excuse to say I didn't know. Shunning light or pushing away light, when you have the opportunity to actually have the light, is just as bad as when you say, like, you have the, for example, you're listening in on AWR and you know that maybe the discussion is not going exactly how you would want. And you're like, but this is not what I want to hear. But I know that God is speaking now. And you then go ahead and say, but then, you know, let me just turn it off. That way I haven't heard and I don't know.
I'm not guilty. Yeah.
At that point, you've become guilty because you are, you now have shunned the opportunity that God gave you to know the truth. But yes, indeed, let us approach it from this point of view. Remember that it is, it's just as straight out as that. Say, God loves his children so much that he wants to get us out of sin. He doesn't want to save us in it.
Yes.
He wants to take us away from it. Yeah. And so do we. Yeah. We also want to come out of sin. We enjoy it sometimes, let's not lie. Let's not love those little cherished sins more than we love the God who died for us, came to save us, who lives for us now.
Yeah.
And would sooner send all of heaven than to see you lost. So remember that you're not alone in this fight. God is fighting too. He wants you. So let's not feel like this is a work-based thing. I need to feel worse about my things. I need to just do harder.
Yeah.
No, remember, this is a relationship. If you love him more and you learn of his love, and that love only comes as a reaction to the love that we see in him. So, yes, the word and the testimony, not just so that we have a checklist, but so that we can know the character of God. We can know the character of the one who loves us.
Ooh, and that idea of character is very important, because that's what it's all about, is it not? Yeah, may God help us. May God help us that we pursue him and his character, his love for us above all things, above all things. Thank you, Mdala. May God bless you. Any final thoughts as we close?
Actually, I only have one question. You mentioned a verse that I really love. But then could you give that reference again? I think it came from Isaiah. I think, which one was that?
Which one?
The one that says, if you will hear the voice, you have. Which one is that?
That's Isaiah 30 verse 21.
You know, that's one of my favorite verses, but I continue to forget the reference.
Where it comes from.
30 verse 21.
30, 21, yes.
But I keep picturing it in my mind. Now, this is the reason why I wanted to refer back to 30 verse 21 of Isaiah, was because I believe that God is not trying to hide from us. He continuously goes looking for us. So here's the idea. There's no need to say, yeah, but I need to follow my own heart because God stopped listening. No. He wants us to walk with him, and he wants to walk with us. So 30 verse 21 of Isaiah,
yes,
when he gives that promise, he's saying that, no, even when you feel confused, James chapter 1 verse 5 also says the same way, saying that if you lack wisdom, ask. So that's what I would say. Don't think that God is our enemy and somehow we're trying to force our way into heaven's gates. No, he's calling us and he wants us to walk with him on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 100%. That's where I'll put it. That's where I'll end it.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much. And a beautiful way to wrap it up. We appreciate you, my elder. May God bless you. And thank you once again for taking us through this week's VOP series.
No, God bless you. And you have a great day.
Thank you so much. That's Elder Moyo there, all the way from Malawi, talking to us this afternoon about how we must understand God is at work. In fact, he is more in desire of you working for, you being saved, right? And him, you having the best life that you need. Than you think, and he is not against you, he is not at odds with you. And sometimes when he says, hey, you're veering off the path, it's because he's seeing the danger that is there. So if you listen to him, you will find yourself actually in a better, much, much better position. That's the voice of prophecy. And of course, it's a study that we invite you to join us in as we go through life.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.